The president sticks to his position on tax cuts for the wealthy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Bill Radke. Read my lips, no new tax cuts for the rich. The president will send that message today when he speaks about the economy in Cleveland. And Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us live from Washington with more. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Jeremy. Good morning.
Well, what's the president expected to say today in Cleveland?
Let the taxes go back up for the richest among us. I mean, we're talking about income taxes for families making more than $250,000. During the George W. Bush administration, they were lowered from more than 39% in the top bracket down to 35%. But those tax cuts expire this year, and the president wants that to happen. What he does want to extend, though, is tax cuts for the 98% of Americans below that threshold.
Well, it sounds like a populist campaign theme. Is he trying purposefully to pit the middle class against the rich?
Well, there's no fixed definition of middle class, but that's how the administration is painting it. It's trying to rally Democrats behind that narrative for the fall, that it's us, the regular people, versus, you know, those people.
But, Scott, are all the Democratic candidates running for election going to be with the president on this populist pitch?
Well, Jeremy, Democrats and unity has been a question ever since, well, dirt. I mean, some Democrats this campaign are getting slammed for supposedly raising taxes and are wavering on this issue. So this is seen as a message from the White House to stand firm on these expiring tax cuts.
Okay, Marketplace's Scott Tong live in Washington. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
We're waiting for a report this morning from BP. The British oil giant is going to give us its take on what went wrong in the rig explosion that led to the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Analysts say it's unlikely BP will admit too much wrongdoing because of all the pending lawsuits. That oil spill leaked 206 million gallons of oil into the Gulf. And let's check the world stock markets. In Europe right now, markets are down about 0.8%. Asian markets got a chance to react to yesterday's news that European banks might still have a lot of risky debt on their books. The Hang Seng dropped 1.5%. The Nikkei in Tokyo down more than 2%. Wall Street also dropped yesterday. The Dow fell 107 points to close at 10,340. Well, in the midst of all the government efforts to stimulate home buying, here is a surprise. The cost of mortgage insurance backed by the Federal Housing Administration is set to increase this fall. John Dimsdale explains what that means for homebuyers.
Recent foreclosures and delinquencies have depleted the FHA fund that insures mortgages. To restore it, Congress allowed the agency to nearly triple the monthly premiums. FHA Commissioner David Stevens says the price won't go up to the maximum, but the increase will still average nearly $40 a month.
Today, FHA's portfolio has experienced a significant amount of stress because a lot of the loans we originated during the heyday ended up being very high-risk loans.
To help homebuyers afford the hike, FHA is lowering the initial down payment for insurance by close to $1,000 on average. Still, John Anderson with Twin Oaks Realty in Minneapolis says the higher premiums could push some crucial homebuyers out of the market.
So if we have a first-time homebuyer, when it gets right down to it, $10 a month, $20 a month can make a difference in what house they're going to be able to buy. It is going to affect an affordability.
The fee increase, originally set to begin this week, was delayed a month to give lenders more time to update their computer systems. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Seems like just about every day there's another story about how the internet has reshaped this business or that business, how some iPhone app has put some poor mom and pop out of their jobs. Well, we wanted to dig into that a little deeper with Porter Bibb. He spent much of his career in old media at the New York Times and Newsweek, and he now runs a consulting firm here in New York called Media Tech Capital Partners. Porter Bibb, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
The internet, it's ruining old media like newspapers and magazines. It's apparently making office space less important. Headhunters are out of a job. Are there any other things I've left off the list?
You might include landline telephones, which have virtually disappeared from the face of the earth. They are also is a very negative impact that the internet has created on, of all things, flea markets. eBay, on which you can sell anything globally, has replaced antique stores and flea markets around the world. The other big loser probably in the internet is the U.S. Postal Service. Regular mail has dropped precipitously over the last decade in the face of an onslaught of email.
So does this mean the internet is bad for the economy generally?
Essentially, it is a technological innovation on many levels is the best thing that's ever happened to the global economy. It's created an information explosion. It's helped productivity around the world. It's connected the global economy.
Do you think that there are industries that don't know yet what's coming to them that haven't been affected by the rise of the internet but soon will be?
Virtually anybody today in business knows that the internet is going to change the way he does business. And I think that it's really a question of whether they have figured out how to transition to the internet and to digital or not. I'd like to add one other thing that is actually a huge beneficiary of the internet revolution, and that is radio, and particularly public radio and programs like Marketplace, because the podcast on the internet allows anybody, anywhere, anytime to hear this program.
And we paid Porter to say that, by the way. Our Marketplace podcast is available online. Porter Bibb, thanks so much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure.
Porter Bibb is Managing Director of MediaTek Capital Partners in New York. And finally, what makes a city a stressful place to live? Well, Portfolio.com ranked the 50 largest metro areas in the country based on things like the unemployment rate, poverty, traffic, crime, mortgage affordability, and, of course, the number of sunny days per year. Well, it turns out Detroit is the most stressful city to live in. New York is sixth. L.A. comes in number two. The least stressful? It's Salt Lake City. Must be something in the water out there. No matter your stress level, we invite you to check out marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.